Okay, mamas, there is no getting around it. Mealtime is often the most stressful time for many families. Every mom that I talk to, at least in my own circles, says the same thing. The weight that we feel as often the primary caregivers to make sure that our kids have all the nutrition that they need, or to even get them to eat the food that we serve in the first place. That can be so frustrating. So, in today's episode, we are going to unpack several ways to support ourselves in preparing simple and healthy meals and snacks for our families, as well as how to intentionally involve our kids in that process. I'm Katie. I'm a mama, a coach, and a podcaster focused on supporting eco-minded mamas to live sustainably, saving thousands of dollars, and living a life that is in alignment with their core values as they care for their families and the earth. I'm here today with Julia, a mama of two and plant-based recipe creator over at the Power Plant blog. So let's get into it. Julia, will you share a bit about yourself and your story with us first? How did you get into all of this?
Hi, Katie. So I really got into this when I had my kids. I was an omnivore before that, and then a vegetarian for a bit. And I came across this book. I don't know, some of you might have heard of the China Study, which is quite an intense book. I'm not going to talk too much about it. You can read it if you find the time. But it just shocked me beyond words what I kind of learned about diet and what we eat and what we get into our body with meat and dairy. And I basically more or less from one day to the next decided that this is not what I wanted to kind of have in my life anymore. And at this point my kids were probably about one. I've got twins, so they're the same age. So yeah, it was a steep learning curve for sure, because I got some quite I would say harsh critics. It's maybe a bit exaggerated, but people definitely met this decision with skepticism. Some said, oh, it's one thing if you do that for yourself, it's not safe for children, and so on and so forth. I'm sure some of you would have come across this as well. So I made it my mission to learn everything there is to know about the plant-based kind of lifestyle and diet, and what to look out for, what to make sure that we get, and I just really became like my number one passion. Because, as much as I love animals, and it was an ethical decision as well, obviously I would not use my children as guinea pigs. So I wanted to make sure I do things properly. And somehow I found that there weren't an awful lot of recipes out there that I thought were like nutritiously as sound and as varied as I'd wanted them to be. So I started to create my own, and eventually I thought, you know what, I could just post them. So almost to create my very own online recipe library for myself in a way. And then it just became quite popular and I really enjoyed it. And one thing led to the next, and here we are.
I
The kids
love
are
that.
nine and have never had meat in their lives or dairy, and they're doing absolutely fine. And yeah, here we are.
Yeah, that's amazing. I think that's so great. And yeah, your recipes online, I'll have all the resources linked below, but the recipes online, your Instagram, you at least currently are always sharing like your lunch boxes for your kids every day. And it's just amazing to me the variety that your kids eat. Because how old are your twins again? You said you started this when they were one, but how old are they now?
Yeah, around one. They're nine now.
They're
Nine
nine.
and a half.
Okay. Yeah, so 8 solid years of this.
Yes.
Nine. And that's amazing that to me at that age, they are eating the rainbow. You hear that phrase, like
Yes.
they're eating all the colors. It's so amazing to me. And I really want to pick your brain because even parents who might be listening to this podcast and are not really interested in being like fully plant-based or vegan or anything, they could probably relate to the struggle of just getting their kids to eat vegetables
Oh,
at all,
absolutely.
like any colors. So I would
Yeah.
love to pick your brain. How did you get your kids like involved in this process with you? Like even being on board with what you're serving them?
I think obviously it helps when you start from such a young age, because they simply don't know any different now. But then I also get lots of comments on Instagram on my lunch boxes, for example. People are really sweet and lovely, but a lot of people say, oh, you're so lucky that your children eat this. And it always makes me laugh a little bit, because it was far from easy. It still is far from easy. Like any child likes beige food, crisps and or chips in the States, or any sort of nugget thing, whether or not it's meat in it or not. Beige food is very popular with children. And to get them to eat spinach and kale and all these kind of things, it's not a walk in the park. There's absolutely no way around it. If they learn from a very early age to just try these things and to get used to the flavors, and also to be told, obviously this gets a bit easier with age, you can tell them a bit more about it, you can tell them what it does to the body, etc. It's a bit harder when they're 3 years old and just picky and wanting to throw things on the floor. But I do believe that if you incorporate something over and over again, even if they really despise it to start with, they will eventually just think, you know what, it keeps appearing on my plate. It's just something she does, something we have. It becomes a little bit of like a home comfort. It's like a flavor that you know, and it's just something that happens in your house. I'm sure you have some memories of your childhood, like certain foods that you maybe didn't love, but they just kept appearing on your plate. And eventually just get on with it, don't you? You know, and if you're hungry, everything tastes good. So I think the more variety you can include from an early age, even if it's small quantities, but just loads of varieties, different plants, whole grains, nuts, legumes, seeds, you know, all these things, obviously from the appropriate age. I used to puree everything when they were small. I was finding that easier. I know some people go straight to finger foods, but with twins it was just a bit of a mess. But then you can puree anything though and make it tasty and they'll eat it. And then suddenly when they actually see it as an actual vegetable, they start to be picky. So, you know, no one said it was going to be easy, right? But I think it's worth it, and I think it really pays off down the line. And it sets certain food patterns for life. I believe that also kids who know how to eat, I would say properly, you know, like from scratch, cooked from scratch, actual real food rather than ultra processed things and ready meals and stuff like that, I think they will always have a tendency, even if they go through a bit of a phase during teenage years where they go to McDonald's or whatsoever, they will probably find their way back. I think maybe that's wishful thinking, but I do think that if you know it from a young age, you will probably keep it up in one way or another for your life. That's what I hope for anyway.
Yeah. And I think that what stands out to me about what you said is, and this is something that resonates based on all of the experts, like, you know, nutritional experts and pediatricians and everyone that I've been trying to learn from as a mom, because I do have a 3-year-old right now. And
it's a hard age, 3 years old.
It is hard. He just is all of a sudden in this super picky phase.
Yeah.
And yeah, it wasn't always that way. But I think what you said about exposure, that's the key from what I keep hearing, at least. Just like, I love how you worded it, that it's about, you know, this is just something mom does. This is just something that we do in our home. This, you know, kale or whatever it is, just keep showing up on my plate. Because over and over and over, if it's there, even if they're not, you know, eating it, and our job is to not force them to eat anything, but if it's there, eventually, I mean, I talked to this one, what was she? She was some sort of a feeding therapist, like a swallowing specialist or something. She said that her daughter, like, would not touch asparagus, absolutely hated asparagus. And then all of a sudden one day when she was 6 years old, she just picked up a piece of asparagus because it was still on her plate consistently. And she just started eating it as if she had always been eating it. And like,
it can be frustrating as a mom as well, because you feel like you're pushing and push, as in you have to work so hard, and then suddenly they make it so easy. You know, it can change from one day to the next as well. It's got so much to do with their mental development as well. I think a lot of the refusal at 3 years, for example, is this sort of power game, isn't it? They're trying to gain some independence, and not eating what you're told to eat is like the perfect moment to kind of, you know, have a little strop and try and fight mummy a bit. It's very unpleasant for us, unfortunately, but I think we all have to get through it. And I do also think maybe it's a bit old fashioned, but every now and again, it kind of pays off to just put your foot down a little bit. Because, you know, they try, and it doesn't change with age, to be honest. It's just other things it's that constant kind of finding the balance between being super strict, but also obviously being understanding. And, you know, I do sort of give my kids two or three things that they can choose that they refuse to eat.
Mm-hmm.
One of my sons will not touch a banana over his dead body, never has done. And I'm not forcing him to eat the banana. I think it's bananas and avocados for him. Whereas the
maybe
other one,
like a texture thing or something.
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah. But as a tennis player, I said, how can you even think about a tennis career without eating bananas? But I think, you know, we have to cut them some slack and give them some little bit of freedom where they feel like they have a bit of authority, I suppose, or freedom to choose what they want. But I can be a bit strict as well, that's for sure. I just think if you're hungry, anything will taste good, basically. That's how I was brought up, and that's one of the things that I think, essentially, I believe that is true, right? We've all been there.
Oh yeah. Well, that kind of, you know, goes into my next question that I had for you, which was, how do you approach, and you've touched on this a little bit now, but how do you approach introducing new and potentially suspicious foods to your children? Like, they now at the age that they are, there's probably not a lot of foods that are new to them because you've been doing this for, you know, 8+ years, but maybe when they were younger,
mm-hmm.
So did you have any strategies that you found effective or ways that you talked about the foods that you're putting on their plate when they feel very like skeptical about it at first?
Yeah, it's not easy that. I think some things you can cheat a little bit. And for example, I used to make a lot of mash out of absolutely everything. You know, you can put cauliflower, butter beans, you can make all colored mash. You know, you can make these orange mashes that are made of red lentils and sweet potatoes and carrots and butternut squash, and you can put whatever in there. So but then obviously you're hiding things a little bit, which isn't necessarily what you want to do, because you want them to know what they're eating and actually like it because of what it is.
Right.
But when they're small, I always felt like this is quite a good way to kind of get them just used to the taste. And then you can say, you did actually have butternut squash yesterday and you enjoyed it, so why don't you try it roasted today? Another thing I've always done is like, if I have any greens, you know, sort of spinach or kale or Swiss chard or anything, I just lightly fry it or steam it. And then sometimes I blend it together with pesto. It can be like a store-bought vegan pesto.
Oh, yeah.
And you basically just sort of pimp your pesto. That's what I call it. And you can get quite a lot of greens into some pesto.
Yeah.
I know some people may make just like a green sort of sauce you can mix with your pasta. But for me, I think if I mix it with pesto, then they'll have it. Pasta sauce is always generally a great way. I mean, you can put so many different vegetables into a tomato sauce. As long as they're cut quite small and you fry them a bit and season them nicely, add some lentils or some soya mince, and they'll eat it. Or in a lasagna, same thing. So, you know, you can cheat your way around it a little bit, but eventually I think it's also helpful to just tell them and say, look, this is this new thing. Like, I made, what was it, Romanesco, you know, that sort of green looking broccoli / cauliflower thing. I don't
oh
know if
yeah yeah
mm-hmm. It's really beautiful. It's a very beautiful vegetable, and the boys were a bit like, what is this? I've not seen this. This looks weird. I said, look at it. Look how beautiful it is. Like, absolutely a piece of art. And we had a good look at it, and they chopped it, and then we sort of cooked it together, and then they were interested to try it. So I think you have to make a bit of a thing out of it. And yet still, they can still give you the whole, nah, don't like it, don't want it, don't want to look at it.
Yeah.
It's, you know, there's no straightforward way, but I find that explaining things helps.
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
Not
And you
just present them with it and say, this is your plate and you have to eat it now.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
it's like when you do that and you're kind of digging your heels in, I think it just causes them to dig their heels in even more. And then it becomes this power
Completely.
struggle, which is benefiting nobody.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I totally agree that I think getting your kids involved in the process of chopping or preparing or cooking the food, baking the food, however you can, at least in my experience, has totally upped the chance. It increases the chance that he will at least be open to trying it because he was involved in the process. So, what are some of the ways that you often have your kids, involved? I mean, they're older now, so they could probably be very involved in the cooking process, but could you give like maybe a little recap of your journey through that? How did you involve them when they were younger, and how involved are they now in creating the food that they eat?
I would say I never involved them quite as much as I should have done, just mainly because of the incredible mess they create,
Right.
especially when they're younger, and it was just sometimes a bit overwhelming. I'm sure you know the feeling. Now that they're older, they're a bit less bothered. But I always had them in the kitchen. We had this setup where they were eating in the kitchen, and therefore they would watch me. And I would give them maybe like a peeler and let them peel a few things or stir some things when they were a bit bigger. They do enjoy that very much. I should definitely do it more often. Quite often, I think us as moms, we just think, let's just get it done at the minimum time. Time's of the essence. And as soon as you get the kids involved, as I'm sure you know, you're looking at a slightly bigger operation. So, but I think it's the best way to include them for anyone who has the patience. Get them in the kitchen and let them help. I always let them help unpack the shop. They get very excited when we get our veg box delivered on a Tuesday. It's kind of fascinating even for me at the age of 9. They go to the front door and they check if it has arrived. And when it, they put like these beautiful apples. I can't wait to eat one of those. And it's really lovely. I mean, that might pass, but at the moment, the veg box is like a big thing. But yeah, I mean, the more they are involved and the more they understand that, a brown carrot is basically a carrot that's just been taken out of the soil, and that's where it grows rather than on a supermarket shelf. That will help them understand where the food comes from and appreciate it. And yeah, just to make that sort of like a natural sort of process that you wash vegetables and you peel them and you chop them, and it takes some time and a bit of commitment, but that's just something that happens before you eat, no? Like this whole idea of food preparation rather than just pushing start button on the microwave. I think that's what was most or is most important to me. I'm sure I could improve on in many ways, but they understand that when mom's cooking, that's what's happening, basically.
Yeah, it's so important. I mean, you're modeling for them the value that you place on their food and where it comes from, and the more hands-on that they are, pulling that brown carrot out of the bag, it's covered in soil, they have to go wash it off. That's amazing. And not everybody has that experience, but I think if they can be involved in any way in just, washing the produce or chopping it, I think that it's important to get hands-on with our food and understand where it comes from, especially at a young age. And on your website and your Instagram, you have absolutely gorgeous recipes. There's so many that are on my list that I want to try. And I think as we bring this episode in for a close, I would love if you could just share with some parents, like, what are some of your top tips or your go-to recipes for creating these like wholesome, whole food-based snacks or meals, if it's something that's especially appealing to children, like maybe a good way to get in these veggies, or maybe it's just something that's really simple to prepare together. What would be a couple of your recommendations?
For smaller children, I mean, my kids up to the age of about 5, they pretty much lived on something I sort of invented that I called oat bar, which is basically I made a puree of whatever vegetables I had, mainly root vegetables and some lentils, mixed it with oats, and then sort of spread it on a baking tray and baked it. And I learned, obviously, I sort of knew that, but I learned quickly that oats bind very well and they turn almost anything into like a solid, half solid kind of bar kind of thing. So when you buy all these snacks that they mainly consist of either it's dates and nuts or it's something oat based, no? So I started making these oat bars mainly savory because I feel like there's so many sweet options. And actually, It tastes all right. You know, obviously when they're very small, you don't add much salt, but later on you can season it a bit more and it's actually totally fine. It's like a little meal on the go. You could get a ton of vegetables in your child this way and the oats, which is great. And you can make it sweet. We can make it with apple puree or mango puree or mashed banana, a bit of cinnamon. You can add some nuts to it if you want. Like the list is endless. Another thing I often do for sort of sports competitions that they're both very much into sport is like I blend nuts and dried fruit. You can literally buy a mix that's ready, just, you know, like a nut and fruit mix that you like, and just chuck it in the blender and it'll turn into a paste and you just roll it into little balls and you're done.
It's a great idea.
It's so simple and it'll save you some money as well. And you can kind of just change the ratio ever so slightly because most of the store-bought ones, at least here in the UK, they're very heavy on the dried fruit side, which is not wrong, but it's very, very sweet. Whereas, you know, the ones you make yourself, you can add some more nuts, and as long as it sticks, you can get away with anything. You can add some cocoa powder, make it a bit chocolatey, or some almond essence and make it a bit sort of like marzipan-y kind of thing. So I do that quite a lot. I do sometimes just boil potatoes and carrots and maybe some broccoli all in the same pan at once and just put that in a Tupperware and they can eat that as finger food basically. It's actually not as hard either or not as time consuming as people think. You just have to, I think planning is key. Planning is key and have some things frozen in the freezer. I always have some cooked beans and cooked grains, you know, some you have to soak overnight and then cook for a couple of hours. And not everyone thinks about it the night before. So you just make a whole big pan and then put a few Tupperwares in the freezer and then ready to go. That's the most sort of labor intense part or time consuming part. I think the grains and the beans, obviously you can buy them ready cooked as well. That's fine. But and yeah, just enjoy, try to find some pleasure in the process of cooking. I know we're all busy, but I find, you know, you can listen to a podcast or you can, it's a bit of a meditative kind of moment in a busy life where people run around. It's just focusing on one thing. It can be quite creative. And I think it's actually really quite therapeutic.
Yeah, I totally agree. I love the time that, I mean, if I'm involving my 3-year-old, like you said, it gets very messy. It's
Yeah.
much more hands-on
Less
and
therapeutic.
exactly. It's more like guidance focused, but there is a huge benefit that comes from that experience. And then on the other hand, if he's not with me, that's still beneficial because then I do get that sort of therapeutic time. I love listening to podcasts while I'm prepping food. So, yeah, this whole idea of planning and meal prep, I mean, that's another episode in itself, but I'm excited because you have joined the Eco-Minded Mama Collective recently. And so there's more information on that linked in the show notes, but that's basically our online membership program. We have a community of mamas coming together and supporting each other to live this out, to live all of these things out, all of the parts of living sustainably. And what does that mean? What can it look like from person to person? So we are very heavily going to unpack this idea of meal prepping and planning in the next unit that we're about to begin. So if
Okay.
anyone is interested in joining that, I'll have that linked below. And then I'll also have all of Julia's information linked below. You should definitely check out her blog and her Instagram. Even if it's just to see on her Instagram her daily lunchbox photos, like these great ideas of the variety that you can be serving your kids. Julia, thank you so much for taking time to share your expertise with us. I'm so glad that you're here and that you are creating what you're creating because it gives moms like me so much more inspiration to just try something new. Even if it's just once a week and that's all I have time for is to branch out and try something new like that, it's inspiring and motivating. So thank you.
Thanks so much for having me.